94, and please avoid Washington Avenue. Another piece of information, Brad, is the Minneapolis police asked if people have questions about victims, loved ones, or their victims themselves, I guess, and they're not, you know, severely injured, obviously, to report to the Holiday Inn Metrodome, and that's in the Seven Corners area in Minneapolis. That's off of Cedar and Washington, the ballroom area. So I think they're trying to figure out what to do with all the questions, all the people who have questions. You know, I'm sure they're all calling 911 and deluging the system, understanding. Assistance, some help, some questions answered. And again, I think you've already reported that the Twins are canceling tomorrow's ball game and, of course, the groundbreaking because, obviously, of this catastrophic event tonight.
Now, we're here at the County Government Center awaiting the governor to arrive.
Right, that's right. The governor, Tim Pawlenty, and apparently Mayor Rybak and other elected officials and folks who have hopefully some answers or at least want to make a comment about this tragic.
And we're told around 9 o'clock, so it should be any time.
That's correct. That's correct. Carolyn Maryland.
All right, you are listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP St. Paul in Minneapolis. I'm Dave Thompson, host of the Dave Thompson Show, that would ordinarily air at this time, although this evening you would ordinarily be hearing a Twins baseball game. Obviously, we are sticking with five eyewitness news coverage live to keep you updated on the very latest coming from this catastrophic event that happened with the collapse of a bridge in Minneapolis, and we're going to continue with that for as long as the circumstances warrant. We'll be cutting in here to give you occasional updates or summaries of things, and right now here's the situation with downtown Minneapolis. Someone on Channel 5 had just indicated that if you are leaving the Metrodome, or you know someone who's leaving the Metrodome, you want to go out of there 4th Avenue South. Do not go anywhere near the direction of that downed bridge. Stay away from that area. Now, Dave St. Peter was on earlier with my colleague Matt Thomas and explained that the reason they held the Twins game tonight is because due to the fact that this a tragedy happened just before game time, the vast majority of people heading to the game had already arrived at the Metrodome, and it would have been far more dangerous and chaotic to cancel the game, get everybody out on the streets, and clog up the road system for emergency workers and so on. So the decision was made to hold tonight's game, and in something that's obviously a trivia at this point relative to the other events, the Twins and the Kansas City Royals are tied 2-2 in the bottom of the seventh. In any event, that is why the game was held tonight. The game tomorrow, the day game against the Kansas City Royals that was scheduled for 12:10 p.m., has been canceled. That game will not be played, and in fact, the groundbreaking for tomorrow has also been canceled. I am real hesitant to give any reports other than what has been confirmed by the Hennepin County Medical Center on fatalities and injuries. The last report I have coming from the medical facility indicates 22 serious but not critically injured people, 6 critically injured people, and 1 fatality. There are other reports out there with larger numbers. Those may prove to be true, but I'm going to go with what we have from medical personnel at this point. And that is what we know. Once again, this is AM 1500 KSTP, and you would ordinarily be hearing either a Twins baseball game or my program, The Dave Thompson Show. But we are going to stick to Channel 5 Eyewitness News coverage of this bridge disaster for as long as circumstances warrant. I'm actually going to be here until the morning crew comes in at 5 o'clock, so we'll be getting you live updates from here. And get you the summary. Something else that needs to be pointed out is at this point there is no indication of any foul play here, no indication at all. The belief is that this was purely a structural catastrophe, that there was no foul play of any kind. That is the official word at this point, and so I know a lot of people wonder, could this be attributable to some other sort of thing? The official word now is that it is not, that this was purely a structural collapse. So we will now take you back to Channel 5 coverage. I'll be giving you updates at least every half hour here as conditions warrant. And you're listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Information.
Okay. Dr. Steve Olson is with us. He's a bridge engineer. And Steve, how long? It's going to be months, if not longer, before we really know what happened here, I would guess.
Yeah, it'll take a long time.
All right, that's Dr. Steve Olson, who's a bridge engineer, joining us to shed some light on the bridge and some of the information we've been talking about as far as fatigue cracks, terms like that. But Yeah, there's going to be a lot of time to ask those questions, and there is going to be an investigation into what happened here, the likes of which the state has not seen, because I'm not sure the state has seen a disaster like this in the middle of the Twin Cities, the bridge over the Mississippi River and 35W collapsing about 3 hours ago, almost to the minute now, about 3 hours ago. You're looking at a live picture from Chopper 5 as things get dark out there. It really paints a picture of the flickering emergency lights. That really tells you how many crews are out there, where they're at, and they're going to be out there all night.
Somewhere in all of those lights there near the 10th Avenue Bridge, in University, is our Glenn Barber. He has been posted there all evening long. Glenn, are you still in position? Yes, you are. Hi.
Yeah, Cindy, again, 10th and University Avenue here in Minneapolis. Over my shoulder here, I'll point out that there are literally dozens of emergency vehicles here. This road is closed, of course. Just on the other side of this road you're looking at live is where the collapsed bridge is. Now, take a look at some of the video that we shot just minutes after the bridge collapsed. We're seeing some of these children that were on that school bus coming back from a youth camp, from a field trip, getting out of the bus, coming up onto the shore. This is over by the Guthrie Theater, the new Guthrie. Paramedics obviously treating those people. There's a gentleman that was in a UPS truck that was also injured in his stomach. All of these people getting emergency medical attention immediately after things happened. A person who was on the bus tells us that the children were screaming and crying and that the tarmac just literally dropped out from underneath them. Also a gentleman who was in his truck right there, he behind the bus talks about how he helped to rescue these children out of the school bus. Let's listen to what both of those witnesses who were on the bridge.
So on the sidewalk, I was laying next to my boss, and she couldn't feel her legs.
Me and about two or three other men were actually taking the kids off of the bridge and, you know, actually lifting them down because, you know, the bridge was completely down, and we had to, you know, have a couple of them jump, you know, because
the kids were what, screaming?
They were screaming, crying. At first, I didn't know what was happening. Dust just started coming up everywhere, and then I realized that the bridge is going down, and it just fell all the way down. I'm just lucky I wasn't over the water.
And both of those guys, very lucky to be alive tonight, they both said. You're looking live again at 10th Street, the bridge that goes over the river right next to the collapsed bridge deck. We can see a lot of smoke rising in the lights over there beyond the emergency vehicles. One thing we haven't talked too much about tonight is the smell out here. There is a smell of burnt rubber or something like that. Obviously, there was that big fire on the bridge from the semi-truck immediately after this thing happened. That smell lingers here tonight. Dozens and dozens of people gathering to watch this effort underway. And the one thing that we really want to urge people, as
Glenn,
we've been saying all night long,
Glenn,
is you just
cut you off because
away.
We have the governor
right,
on the phone right now. We'll get back to you later on. Let's listen in to Governor Pawlenty.
Governor?
Is this a news? Governor, are you with us? Okay, we have a news conference that's going to start here on the phone. And while we wait for the governor to start, we can tell you that right now, by our account, 35 people are injured. One person is confirmed dead. You saw the speck of blood on that young man's nose in the interview Glenn Barber did. He was one of the gentlemen who pulled the 60 kids, out of the school buses. It teetered. It looked like about a 30-degree angle on the pavement of the bridge. So, again, another plainclothes hero, so to speak,
right,
stepping in and doing what he could.
In one of those vehicles that it collapsed not in the water but rather underneath on the pavement below, we're going to get a better view, I think, tomorrow of exactly how those people survived and what they were doing. We're waiting right now for a news conference to begin at Hennepin County.
We'll be returning in approximately an hour or two with more information on that. But there are several pieces of information we'd like your help in getting out as quickly as possible. First and foremost, because there's great concern, we want to make sure that those who urgently need to use their cell phones can. So we ask everyone to please make as little use of your cell phone as possible with respect for those who obviously need it quite desperately this evening. We also want to send the message to anyone who is in the Metrodome at the Twins game tonight that they are obviously safe, but we are sending them all down two streets, 4th and 6th Street in the city. The light rail will also be operating, and so we want to make sure that as that crowd comes out tonight that they move toward the downtown area, not toward the incident. We greatly appreciate the support of the citizens in staying away from the site because obviously we need to have our resources at full maximum at that point. So what I wanted to do now is turn it over to Chief Dolan to talk a bit more about the incident, to Governor Pawlenty, and then we'll turn to Ted Canova of the Red Cross. Chief?
You see, at this point, all survivors that were on the bridge were off the bridge. We're also, as far as the construction workers are concerned, we've accounted for all the construction workers except for one. We have assistance from Red Cross and numerous other agencies, State Patrol, St. Paul, others. We have water rescue and recovery going on right now. We have the resources that we need at this time. I would also say that we are clearing out personnel from that area. Perimeter security is our main concern right now, and we are clearing out those areas. You'll see officers checking other bridges. That's just as a precaution. We don't believe at this time that we have anything other than a bridge collapse. I just want to add that right now that we did have a school bus full of youth. Those youth have been released to their parents. And we'll have information here about a site for family members that are concerned and where they can go, and we'll get that information a little bit later. That's good.
Obviously, this is a catastrophe of historic proportions for Minnesota. And right now, we are focused on making sure we do anything and everything to respond to the needs of those individuals who may have been harmed in this incident. And so the mayor described a command and control structure where the Minneapolis Fire Department has the lead in that regard, but they are being assisted by law enforcement and emergency responders from across the metro area, including federal officials, state officials, county officials. That includes law enforcement, includes firefighting, includes paramedics or EMSs, technicians. It includes the sheriff's office, it includes the DNR and various water resources. You saw a National Guard Black Hawk helicopter on the nearby bridge in case there are medevac needs or other needs if they could help it. So there is a substantial and massive response. I was on site earlier this evening and had a chance to visit and see the site. It is obviously a catastrophe. And first and foremost, we want to say to the families who are being impacted by this that our hearts and prayers are with you. But we also want to make sure that you know that we are doing everything we can to make sure that we respond as quickly as we can to the needs of this emergency. And a couple of other just quick items, and we'll turn it over to the Red Cross. First of all, I've been on the phone with Secretary Peters from the Minnesota Transportation Authority. She's going to be here early tomorrow morning. She has pledged all of the federal government's resources and help, but we've received gestures from Speaker Pelosi and the congressional delegation that they stand by and are willing to help in any way possible. As to the bridge itself, it was built in 1967. It's a somewhat unique structure in the way that it was designed. It was inspected both in 2005 and 2006. There were no structural deficiencies identified in the bridge. According to MnDOT, there were some cosmetic or minor repair items that needed some attention, but no structural defects or deficits identified in the bridge. They notified us from an engineering standpoint the deck may have to be rehabilitated or replaced in 2020 or beyond, but no immediate or noted structural problems with the bridge. I should also note, however, that there was construction taking place on the bridge relating to concrete repair and rehabilitation and replacement, guardrail replacement, lighting replacement, and work on the joints. That was being done, started recently. It was scheduled to be completed in September of 2007. We also, of course, will be, once this initial response is conducted, we will also be working to deal with traffic issues and rebuilding issues, and we'll address that in more detail. But obviously, there's going to need to be a very dramatic rerouting of traffic and transit patterns, and we're already working on those plans through the Met Council and others to try to plan for those scenarios. But right now, we're focused on the rescue and recovery efforts. I think right now, we're going to hear from the Red Cross about a request that they have.
Thank you, Governor. It's been a very difficult night, as you can imagine. The Twin Cities Red Cross became the staging area for law enforcement officials, city officials, In the parking lot right now, it was transformed into a parking lot of 80 cars, into a parking lot with five command vehicles and two masts for communications, boats and police officers on horseback, all kinds of scenarios like that. Our hearts go out to all of the victims, everybody who was involved in this. The Red Cross was also the site that the 60 kids were taken from the school bus that you saw. Those 60 kids, a few of them had some injuries. Two may have been more severe than the other ones, but totally we believe up to 10 kids were transported to area hospitals out of the 60. In the moments that ensued after the kids were taken to the hospital, parents and family members were coming to the Red Cross down the hill right on the river road, and there were emotional embraces, as you can imagine. There were tears of joy. There was also sadness, concern. Happy to say that the Red Cross, the volunteers, the staff there provided comfort. They were there to provide emotional counseling and help, along with things like food and drink. But it was the emotional shoulder that the Twin Cities Red Cross really provided in this time of need, as the mayor said, such a dark moment in Minneapolis history. We're getting flooded with requests, as you can imagine, whenever something like this happens and you hear it on the radio and you watch it on TV. Flooded with requests from generous people in the Twin Cities, what can we do? And it's a difficult time to say this, but I'll put it out there just to honor the requests that are coming. You can visit our website. It's redcrosstc.org. There's information there how you can help, from giving blood to donating. Emergencies like this, it's national in scale for a chapter like the Twin Cities Red Cross. We can also use financial donations because this will certainly be breaking some budgets. We just started a budget year. It's a heck of a way to do it, and I hate to talk money at a time of such emergency, but we have a donation hotline, and that number is 612-460-3700. Whatever generosity the Twin Cities community can share, we would certainly appreciate it. Whatever money gets donated, we give it back in spades to everybody in our community, so thank you.
We're certainly to have many other questions, but we do ask your support as we not take any at this point. We want to go back to the incident center, make sure all the information we have coming in is correct. We'll return to you as quickly as we can. We know you're doing an extraordinarily important job of getting the information out, but we also ask your indulgence as we go back and gather more information. We'll be coming out as soon as we can on that. We'll be speaking with you, obviously, about updates that happen throughout the evening on the tragedy, as well as for actions people will need for the morning. But with that, we will leave. We will say one other thing that I think we can confirm at this point, that the Family Center has been set up at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. Am I correct on that? Okay, at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. But we'll be returning in approximately an hour or two. And I'm sorry to be vague on that, but it's in the notes. I'm trying to make sure our information is accurate. We'll return to this point.
Is there a possibility that this is terrorism?
That is not a strong possibility at this point.
Could you come back?
Right now, we are treating it as any possibility. We don't believe we have any terrorist act, but we have investigators, federal investigators, state investigators, and city investigators all working on this case, working hard. And we're interviewing everybody that was near the bridge, on the bridge, witnesses bridge. So we're taking every precaution right now with that investigation.
There's one other thing I wanted to add.
Both federal and state officials, once the rescue and recovery effort is completed and we address that, will undertake investigations. We will be starting and launching these investigations as to the cause of this incident. The chief and the commanders on the ground are indicating, while they haven't ruled anything out, it is not likely that this is a terrorist incident. It is some sort of structural failure in all likelihood, but we will launch both state and federal investigations of this matter.
Is that with that, we will dismiss the Family Center at 1600 Washington Avenue, if I have that correct. We'll be back. We'll be back, and we appreciate your work. We'll be back at this location as soon as we can. Thank you very much.
Mayor Ryback, Governor Poletti, the Red Cross at City Hall. Headlines coming. Yeah, Chief Dolan, please, Chief Dolan. The headlines coming out of that. Mayor Ryback now says six people were killed when the bridge collapsed. on 35W. Construction workers who were on the bridge are all accounted for except for one, Governor Pawlenty, with the quote, a catastrophe of historic proportions. The governor going on to say that in 2005 and 2006, this bridge was inspected. His words, no structural deficiencies found.
Let's give you an update here about what we're learning from the medical centers. At North Memorial Medical Center, we have a report of 8 people who were injured and who were treated. No word yet on the extent of those injuries. From Hennepin County Medical Center, 28 injuries. 6 of those, as I understand that, John, were critical?
Critical, right. And Fairview has 5 people who were injured. These are counts given to us. Our people making phone calls, getting the information for you from the hospitals. By our count, 41 people injured. And as Mayor Ryback just said, 6 people dead.
And we have been showing you scenes. In those scenes that we've been showing you, very obviously, is a bright yellow school bus. It contained 60 youngsters who were on their way from a field trip. They were all rescued from the bus, as far as we know, reunited with their parents at the Red Cross, and many, many individual stories of heroes that are going to be emerging out of that.
We continue to hear these stories of people who saw what happened, stepped in where they could, but just absolutely couldn't believe what they were seeing. And Chris O'Connell has another witness with him. Chris?
Yeah, I'm talking with one of them right now, John. Give you a perspective of where we're at. We're on the south side of the 35W bridge. You see up there where that sign is, that is where the collapse began. Right past that sign there is where the bridge goes into the Mississippi River. And a person who saw that is a gentleman who lives in this apartment building right up there overlooking the bridge. He was looking out the window literally when this happened. Let me introduce you to Xavier Sose. Xavier, just basically tell me what you saw.
I was in the middle of a phone call, and I heard a rumble, and I looked over, and I actually thought it was a truck that was stopping on the bridge, and I saw puffs of dust coming out of the bridge, and next thing you know, the entire center of the bridge just fell out, and I was in awe, and then like a split second later, the front half of the bridge on the closest point to where we're at fell in, and then the other two caved in same time. After that, I went down and, you know, saw what was going on, helped, you know, grab one or two people off the bridge and came back and took pictures.
You went down to help some of the people. What was it like down there when you were getting to these people on the ground right after this happened?
It was a complete disaster. Everybody was completely shaken up. Cars were everywhere, front end smashed in, cars in the water. The entire center section of the bridge is just laying right across the Mississippi. Some of it submerged, but majority of it on top of the water. People stuck in that area, and then, you know, just everybody was completely shaken up. Fire trucks and EMTs and Minneapolis police and troopers, everybody was down there.
You went down to immediately help. You were not the only one. What's going through your mind? What made you put on a shirt, go down there, and try to help people get out of the river?
Just, you know, I don't know. I would probably say stupidity, simply because, you know, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But, you know, I mean, there was people down there who needed help. So I figured since the cops hadn't gotten here yet and neither had the medics, somebody had to help them out, so figured why not go.
All right, Xavier Sosa, one of the eyewitnesses literally when the collapse happened. Still a chaotic scene. A lot of people here showing up, trying to find their loved ones, still in disbelief of what went on here about 6 o'clock this evening, guys.
Yep, about 6:05, Chris. Thanks. Brutal honesty from that man. He put a shirt on and went down there out of sheer stupidity. But, you know, it's not stupidity. It takes your breath away. It had to take his breath away when he saw it. And then he did what I think most people would do, just
also
to see what he could do.
This witness gave us a very accurate description, assuming his observation was correct, of what happened. It was the center of the bridge that went first, and then the two ends, north and south.
And he's really the first guy that we've talked to who was looking out one of those apartment windows above the bridge and saw it as it happened. The first guy we talked to, Mr. LaCroix, he turned away. When he heard the rumble, he looked down, and the bridge was already in the water. This gentleman that Chris just talked to saw it happen. The middle goes down, both ends follow.
Let's go to Beth Jett. She is live at Hennepin County Medical Center. Beth?
Yes, Cindy, just want to give you an update. We are waiting for another update from medical personnel here to let us know what the status is. But this hospital operating on alert orange all afternoon dealing with this disaster. 16 people taken here. They were rushed here from all ages, children to adults, although mostly adults came here. Take a look at video. You can see the ambulance streaming in. Unfortunately, one person who was rushed in died. Medical staff confirming that person drowned and was dead on arrival to the hospital. 22 people suffered non-critical injuries. Six had critical injuries, which included head wounds, chest wounds, one person impaled. The medical staff says they are expecting even more people to come in. They call them the walking injured, people who just come in for their treatment. You can hear more ambulances arriving. Of course, sirens around me. Now, we talked to the uncle of two children who were on that school bus that collapsed with the bridge or fell, and he tells me one person, one of his nephew, I should say, was brought here, ended up having leg injuries. He's a 12-year-old, but he's doing okay. We also talked to the husband of the bus driver who got here shortly after his wife got here. He tells us that she was doing okay. She had leg injuries, and he was rushing in to see how she's doing. So the medical staff here telling me that they were prepared. This is something that they train for and they drill for. So everything worked like clockwork. Usually problems are with transportation and communication. And actually everything has gone relatively smooth considering the extent of this disaster. I can pass on one other thing that the hospital asked us to relay to the public. If you have questions about a patient, the number that you're asked to dial is 612-873-3400. And that will get you in to the people here at HCMC who can help you. So situation still developing, of course, at HCMC is they're expecting more people to walk in with injuries and treat those people. But again, the sad news is one person confirmed dead here, the victim of a drowning. Live at HCMC, back to you, Cindy, John.
All right, thank you, Beth. Now let's go out to Tim Cherno. He has been joining us on the phone from his location. Tim?
Cindy, I'm right now in the parking ramp overlooking the west side of the bridge, lit up by the emergency vehicles that are on the scene. And what I want to tell you about is an encounter that I had. As we were making our way over here this afternoon, there was a man and a woman in a very tight embrace. It was an extremely emotional moment. You could see their shoulders heaving as they were both sobbing. And after a while, they separated, and we walked up and asked them if they would mind telling us what was going on. Well, this man in a green shirt had been on the bridge when the bridge went. And he described the scene as being looking forward, and after feeling an initial jerking motion in his car, looking forward and seeing the concrete rolling towards him in a wave like it was on the ocean. He said that he felt one first drop. It was enough to hit his head on the ceiling of his car. A moment later, another drop. He said this one much more dramatic, falling quite a bit. And then he said from his vantage point, he saw the middle section of the bridge just disappear. He got out of his car, as all the people did, in a panic and tried to help those. He told the kids in the school bus to get off the bridge. He was so emotional. He was speaking to us through sobs. It's just one of the stories that I'm sure we'll be hearing, an encounter that we have with him, and we're trying to locate him again to have a conversation with him, if he will, on camera to share with us. But that's one of the encounters that you have here down on the street. This area is crowded with people who've just come down to look at this event that has taken place in their life today. Cindy.
Yeah, Tim, and we should remind our viewers here, anybody who is thinking of going down there, that police are asking, police and all rescue authorities, asking people to stay away from the scene so as to not hamper any kind of rescue efforts.
Latest we know about the rescue is that the rescue in the river has been stopped until the specialized crews can get in underneath the bridge to see if it's safe for the fire rescue crews to go back in. That does not mean they've gotten everyone out of the river. That's not what we're saying. They've reached everyone they can. Now they're waiting to see when it will be safe to go back in and see if there are more survivors, we hope, possibly more victims. We do know of six people dead. Beth talked about one person who arrived at ACMC, Hennepin County Medical Center, dead on arrival. Mayor Ryback now says six people have been killed in this accident. 41, by our count, are injured at three hospitals.
Christy Peel joining us right now. Christy.
Hi, I'm down at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. This is where victims' families are told to come. But as we drove from down where the Red Cross headquarters is to here, we've been seeing so many emergency crews and many people kind of wandering around wondering if their loved one is down in there. People that we've talked with say that they know their loved one was going from point A to point B, would have taken them over the bridge, and they can't get them on their cell phone. It's mass chaos out here just with spectators, lots of people on their bikes just trying to get a better look to see if they can see anything down here. Again, I'm down at the Holiday Inn Metrodome where victims' families are just starting to arrive with the Red Cross.
Thank you very much, Christy. Let's go back to Chris O'Connell live on the scene. Chris brought us that interview with a witness who saw this all happening from a top story of a nearby apartment building and gave us the best description yet as to what's happened. Chris?
Yeah, it's just an unbelievable scene down here, Cindy. Just people showing up with tears in their eyes, knowing exactly what happened. Some of them we know searching for loved ones. They've been told to go to a command post. We're still seeing emergency vehicles come up to the bridge. Let me give you a little perspective. Right here is I-35W from the south going to the bridge. You see all the emergency vehicles down that way. Marlon, if we could go down to that sign right there, you see where it says University Avenue. That's exit 18. Right past that is where the bridge collapsed from the south side, and it went under that, and right under that are two pieces of huge concrete, two pieces of roadway pinning an 18-wheel truck. That is what was billowing smoke throughout this incident, but it is still a chaotic scene, still a rescue effort going on. We're still seeing firefighters and rescue boats going down to the river, rushing down there. So it's just an unbelievable scene as this continues to unfold. Is to really now the question everyone's asking us, how did this happen? Was it a terrorist attack? We can tell them now it was not a terrorist event, but just what happened now, those questions now beginning to be asked as this awful, awful event continues to develop.
And still much activity down there, as Chris clearly was showing us there.
That's for sure. Chopper 5 has been pushed away from the scene for now because of emergency air traffic. Understandable for sure. Bob McNeely.
Good evening. This is Dave Thompson here at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP, and we are continuing with 5 Eyewitness News live coverage of the disaster that took place on the 35W Bridge in Minneapolis. We are going to continue that throughout the night, so long as conditions warrant. I will be breaking in with these updates about every 30 minutes, or again, more often, as they should warrant. For those of you who are unaware, there has been a bridge collapse on the 35W Bridge near University Avenue in Minneapolis, and at this point, Hennepin County Medical Center has confirmed 22 non-critical injuries that have come into that medical center, 6 critical injuries, and 1 dead. The death is believed to have been as the result of a drowning. Now, there are some other sources reporting a higher death toll and higher injury tolls. We are trying to stick here with what we have officially, and we're going to go with that. Now, the Twins game is being played tonight. We obviously are not covering it due to this catastrophe that has happened. We're going to remain live covering that issue. The reason they did go ahead and hold the Twins game is that the vast majority of attendees were already in the stadium, and it would have made more of a mess to let them out and get them out in the streets where emergency workers needed to be traveling. So the ball game tonight is going on. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Twins and the Kansas City Royals are tied 3-3. Tomorrow's baseball game has been postponed. That will be rescheduled probably when the Royals make another trip here to the Twin Cities later on. And also tomorrow's groundbreaking for the new Twins baseball stadium has been postponed. Dave St. Peter gave that information. Dave St. Peter, of course, the president of the Minnesota Twins, was on earlier this evening with Matt Thomas giving that announcement. Another important bit of information summarizing the bridge collapse is that at this point, it has been ruled a structural problem. No foul play involved. There were state workers on the bridge at the time that it happened, but they were not doing anything structural. It was working on surface maintenance and or repair, so far as we know. So we will now turn you back to a continuing coverage with 5 Eyewitness News, and we'll be cutting in with some summaries here and get you up to date on the latest information as it comes to us right here at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This is a terrible tragedy, and yet it is also a reminder of how vigilant that we must be in terms of providing for safe transportation, safe bridges, safe roadways in our city. Clearly, Jim Oberstar, who gets a lot of attention for aviation stuff, also does a ton of work in Washington with infrastructure across the country, not just here in Minnesota. He, no doubt, will be at the forefront of this when it comes to pushing any kind of investigation, or certainly he is a guy from Minnesota who has the ear of the federal federal government when it comes to getting resources in here to help.
All right, Bob, we'll be returning to you. One of the many layers of this story, another layer. Let's go to Christy Peel. She is with it, inside the family center where some of the very personal and human emotions are enveloping and developing as we speak. Christy?
Well, Cindy, I just talked with the American Red Cross. They're running this center for the families, people who are concerned that their loved ones may be involved here. I understand that there are several families inside now. There are between 15 and 25 priests, pastors, help for those folks here, also mental health professionals standing by. They're inviting anyone who has any questions about their loved ones who may be involved to come here. Red Cross is ready to give information to find out if your loved one might be at one of the area hospitals. If you're just not sure where to call, this is the place to go. I'm at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. People are just arriving now looking for answers.
Christy, how many people would you say are coming in there at this point?
We have, since we've been here, we haven't seen anyone come in. I'm told that there are about two families that are in there getting help right now. It's just starting to trickle in as word of this center is getting out.
Okay, and once again, can you give us exactly where people should go if they have questions about family, loved ones, friends, and acquaintances?
Yes, I am downtown at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. Police are letting families in here. It's right off of Washington in the Seven Corners area, and the police are letting families, victims, questions, anything like that, come right down here. Also, I'm noticing just now as we've been talking, emergency personnel walking in here. Assumption is that they're coming to get mental health help. All of the mental health experts in this kind of work are here, ready to talk to folks. You can imagine in a situation, a scene like these emergency crews have been seeing, they're going to need to talk to professionals as well.
All right. Thank you, Christy. Christy Peel reporting from the Red Cross Center. Do we have Amy Klobuchar? Is she on the phone?
I am on
Senator,
the phone.
Senator Klobuchar?
Yes, I'm on.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for joining us.
Well, I just wish it could be under better circumstances.
Yes,
this is such a tragedy.
Tell me what your take is from Washington, D.C., please.
Well, Senator Coleman and I believe Congressman Ellison are going to be coming out very early in the morning with Secretary of Transportation Peters and to survey the damage and see everything that we can do to help. I spoke with Secretary Peters, and she, of course, has offered all the resources that they have. I've talked to Patty Murray, who is the head of the Transportation Appropriations Committee in the House, the same pledge from the Senate. And then finally, I just got off the phone with the investigator for the Transportation Board, and they are the safety board, and they are going to be heading out. In fact, they're on their way. This is the same group that investigated the tragic accident in Boston with the Big Dig, and so they're familiar with this, and they're going to have a team on the ground in the morning. Obviously, all of this is important, but the most important thing is to help the people, the survivors, and make sure they're getting all the care they need and that the area has been combed. And I know that our officers and the cities and the counties are doing that on the ground. We have always had such an impressive rescue group. But the next step is going to be to investigate what went wrong, and that's what the National Transportation Safety Board will do. And then from there, we will begin to fix this horrible situation.
You know, Senator, the condition of the nation's roads and bridges has been a topic of some serious discussion, and it seems like quite a bit of concern recently. I'm thinking in the last 5 years or so. I know you've not been all that long in Washington, D.C., but have you encountered concerns about this?
Well, as you know, I've only been here a few months, but we have been concerned about transportation funding over the years. But again, we really don't know the cause of this. This is only a mile from my own home. I travel on that bridge every day when I'm home, and it's just unbelievable to me.
Right, right. Well, Senator, thank you. We'll probably be touching base with you tomorrow. You said you and Senator Coleman are arriving here tomorrow morning.
We are getting first thing in the morning, and we will be there. We want to be there with all of the officers and the firefighters and the hospital personnel that have been, I'm sure, will be up all night. We're continuing to ask people not to use, as whenever possible, 612-651 area codes. It's very hard for people to get through and to allow the emergency workers to do their work. That is the first priority tonight. And being the former county attorney, I know the work and planning that's gone in for these kinds of disasters. We've had practices before. When I was county attorney, we never thought a disaster like this would actually happen.
All right. Thank you, Senator Klobuchar, for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Now, in our newsroom, Jessica Miles and has an update for us on a little bit more on the bridge structure. Jessica?
Yes, Cindy, we have been doing some checking on both state and federal records to learn just a little bit more about this bridge, and we've learned it has a lot of history. It was built back in 1967. It's 1,900 feet long, and it's, as you mentioned, 64 feet above the Mississippi. Now, it was designed to span the river without any supports in the river. The goal was to, of course, avoid having those big cement piers that are down in the water, which would get in the way of some river traffic down there, and that means that the bridge spans 458 feet between supports as it spans the river there. Now, we are talking, and you were, of course, as well earlier with Len Levine. He worked as, of course, the Commissioner of Transportation under former Governor Rudy Perpich. And he says that there are between probably in the realm of 40 to 50% of bridges in the state of Minnesota that are deficient. Now, he says that doesn't mean that these bridges are going to come down at any time, but he does go on to say that that means they have some degree of deficiency, meaning there could be some rusting or there could, in fact, be some small structural problems with some of these bridges. Now, he says this number is, of course, alarming because it's very high. State bridge system calls for enhanced inspections, improvements. He says we need to get aggressive and have an aggressive program to rebuild the infrastructure. But he goes on to say that this is not just a Minnesota problem. He says this is a nationwide problem, and in fact, he calls it a crisis because there's just not enough money, he says, coming in to fix the system. There's older structures. Of course, you've got newer and heavier trucks that are working on some of these bridges today. So he says it's a big problem, and it definitely needs to be addressed. Cindy?
All right. Thanks, Jess.
Let's now go to Bob McNaney, who's in Chopper 5 for the latest. Bob?
John, you know, the senator made an interesting point. I mean, obviously, Washington is going to be coming in. The Department of Transportation, presumably the NTSB will come in and with a jump team, if you will. And what typically happens is you have experts from around the country that work for the federal government in various areas, whether it be, in this case, bridge construction, pipeline safety, aircraft accidents. They come in and they basically lend their expertise. And my understanding, having done a little research up here, is that what will happen is similar to other disasters. The people that have been working on these bridges, the manufacturers for parts and products that may be on that bridge, it will be a team of people that will come to this terrible, terrible accident site and try to piece together basically what in the world happened out there.
Okay, right, Bob, we're going to interrupt quickly now and get out to Hennepin County Medical Center for an update out there.
Okay, this will be our last medical update tonight. There has essentially been no change. We have gotten no new critical patients. There's been no additional deaths. Things are, from a medical standpoint, at this hospital, everything is under control, and I believe they are throughout the city from a medical standpoint. It looks like the scene at the bridge, from the information we have, is largely a recovery operation at this time.
Do you know how many other victims are at other hospitals?
I don't have an absolute number, but they've gone to several of the hospitals in the Twin Cities area.
Can you tell us anything more about the one death here?
No, I don't have any additional information on that. We're still notifying family.
What about the critically injured from earlier? Have you been able to stabilize them?
Yes, we've had four patients who've had surgery.
Any of them operated in their condition?
I believe everyone that's here is stable, but there are still critically ill patients here. As far as the six who are critically ill, Their condition hasn't been officially changed yet.
Do you have more information about the fatality, the age of the person?
No, I don't have any more information at this time.
You mentioned the walking wounded earlier. Have you seen many of these people come?
We have not here. Apparently a number of them went to the university hospital and to other hospitals in the area.
Of the patients, any children?
I'm sorry?
Any children?
Yes, there were a number of children that were taken to North Memorial Hospital, and we received one child here.
How old?
I just saw him, so I don't know the absolute age. I think it was a teenager. We're still identifying everyone, so that's one of the logistical problems, is making sure we have everyone properly identified.
Sir, are you at all surprised there have not been more patients coming through throughout the evening?
Not really. I think that it's a function of how many people are on the bridge at the time. So.
And so you still have 22 non-critical and 6 critical?
I believe that's the number, yes.
So no more patients came in after you last talked to us?
No. Yes.
Could you characterize the type of surgery?
I believe one patient had surgery on their head, craniotomy, and three had abdominal surgery. There was another chest injury that did not require surgery, but required local treatment for that.
Injuries consistent with a fall or?
Fall, crush.
The rest of the night is going to be like.
I think from a medical standpoint, the rest of the night should be quiet.
Doctor, are the patients sharing their stories when they're talking to staff?
I'm sorry?
Are patients able to say what happened to staff?
I haven't gotten any information from patients about the situation.
Can you review the types of injuries again, Doctor, from what to what?
The types of injuries are blunt force injuries, so the patients who are critical had truncal injuries, abdominal, chest injuries, and head injuries. And then we had extremity injuries and people with various aches and pains.
And again, Doctor,
we had one penetrating injury of the chest. The injuries we've had, the critical injuries, were injuries to the trunk, head, one penetrating injury to the chest, and orthopedic injuries.
And again, in terms of response to the hospital, there was never any strain on resources. You guys were ready?
No, the hospital responded very, very well. We had plenty of people, medical, non-medical, administrative, transportation, cafeteria. We had a very excellent response. Public safety did an outstanding job. Police, fire, paramedics.
What kind of preparations does the center go through in terms of getting ready for something like this?
Well, we do drills, a number of drills throughout the year on various types of disasters.
Nothing
ever goes exactly according to plan, but it did play out well, yes. No, nothing goes exactly according to plan. So I think that will be it tonight from a medical standpoint.
That's Dr. Joseph Clinton, who runs emergency medicine at Hennepin County Medical Center. What I glean from that, it's the doctor's opinion. I want to emphasize that. The doctor's opinion, he believes that this has now turned into a recovery operation. We're not hearing that from law enforcement or fire. We're hearing that from the emergency doc, who says it's been over an hour since any patients arrived at Hennepin County Medical Center. No change in the conditions of the 28 people who are being treated there. 6 of them are critical right now.
Let's go to Christy Peel. She is at the family center and has some information as families are trying to put together the pieces if they have not yet contacted their family members or loved ones who may have been involved in this. Christy?
I just talked to one of the pastors here, and he tells me that as people are coming in, they're asking, why me, why my loved ones? And he's saying that they don't have answers for that. What they're saying is that this is a time for people to weep. The pastors are here. Up to 25 pastors and priests are on hand here talking to families. We haven't seen any families go in. We understand there are several families inside right now.
talking with mental health professionals and also with pastors and priests. We understand that as the emergency crew, some of them finishing some long, very difficult, very painful work, they're coming here to talk with the mental health professionals as well. This is a difficult scene for not just the families who don't know, have answers yet, but also for the emergency crews who have been in there, some of them been in the water, and have a better idea of what's exactly going on, what that scene looks like. I am at the Holiday Inn Metrodome. It's in the Seven Corners area. If you have any questions about your loved ones, you can come here. The Red Cross is ready to hook up people with hospitals to try and get information as names of victims start coming in.
Thank you very much, Christy. We have Bob McNaney, who has been hovering over the area in Chopper 5. Bob, are you still with us?
Yep. Sorry, I had to go off headset for a minute. I'm trying to get a hold of some of our federal sources. Just talk a little bit more about kind of what the protocol is going to be from this point on, and what you will see come first light. And obviously, we shouldn't diminish the fact that right now there's still a recovery effort going on and perhaps a rescue effort. But come first light, that scene is going to already have faces from Washington, no doubt, that are experts in recovery. They are experts in structural issues that will be helping out with the investigation to figure out what went wrong here. But again, to touch on something that the senator said, this is a nationwide emergency. There's some we heard from the Red Cross. I can tell you firsthand, I'm getting emails from people all across the country who are seeing this. They have ties to the Twin Cities, and they're watching this and seeing it on websites and whatnot. And I can tell you that even a brief sampling from up here, that people all across the United States are focusing on the Twin Cities, and I would not be at all surprised to see a tremendous amount of help come pouring in come daylight.
Thank you, Bob. Vic, we're just reading here. The National Transportation Safety Board is going to be sending in a team of investigators who will be accompanied by the chairman of the NTSB. Bob, you mentioned that you expected that, and that is indeed what's going to happen. And Transportation Secretary Mary Peters flying to the Twin Cities along with Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar.
Let's take a look ahead now, and to help us do that is Bob Gibbons from Metro Transit. And Bob, I'm hoping you can tell us what Metro Transit can do perhaps to get some of these cars off the road that are going to be jammed up tomorrow morning.
Yes, tomorrow morning we will be offering extra bus service from a number of our park-and-ride locations in the North Metro, six of them specifically. We'll have 25 extra buses. We'll have staff on scene at those six park-and-ride locations to assist new customers get comfortable with using transit. Probably a good idea to think about an alternative and get out of your car tomorrow. We'll evolve this plan in the days ahead, and we'll add more service at more locations as we see the need develop, but this is what we could put together for tomorrow morning.
Okay, and I would invite our viewers to listen closely, because if you know the six specific park and ride locations, can you tell us what they are?
Sure. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, Maplewood Mall, Northtown Shopping Center, 63rd and County Road 81 Botano Boulevard, that's in Brooklyn Center, Roseville Shopping Center, and then Roseville City Hall.
So basically on the north side there, because that's where the congestion is going to occur, because that is shut down, and these folks are not going to be able, it sounds like, they're not going to be able to move from the north side of the city into the center city. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we think people will find some of their own ways, but if people would consider sharing a ride and share them in large numbers on our buses, I think it would help out everyone.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Gibbons. And once again, there will be 25 extra buses on duty at six park and ride locations. We'll be bringing you that information very specifically. And, of course, almost as we speak, it will be going onto our website.
And as we get it, we want to let you know the University of Minnesota announces it will be open on Thursday. Classes that are going on and operations will proceed as planned. The U of M is open. Chris O'Connell live for us right now. Chris?
Well, guys, we're seeing medical helicopters both take off and land, so we can only presume they're still taking more victims to the hospital. Let's take a look at right now one of the helicopters. We're not sure exactly what that is, but it has a searchlight on it right now, pointed at the banks of the Mississippi River. This is not a news helicopter, because news helicopters have been told by the Federal Aviation Administration to be 3 miles out, so that is an official helicopter. Still, we presume, searching for victims. Now, let's take it back a little bit. What happened? 6:05, the height of rush hour. Cars, trucks, buses going across the I-35W bridge. Collapsed. Eyewitnesses tell us they heard a rumbling One guy used to live in California. He thought it was an earthquake. He looked out his window overlooking the Mississippi and saw the wreckage, the bridge crumbling, basically like a ton of bricks falling into the Mississippi River, taking with it cars, trucks, and buses. 65 feet into the air, this bridge was built in 1967. As we look more about the rescue efforts, you see down the highway here, it is still somewhat of a chaotic scene as rescue crews still trying to reach. This is by no means a recovery effort. It is still a rescue mission right now as they still search for people. Unfortunately, it is dark out, and that has hampered rescue efforts right now, but as rescue crews continue to look, people still showing up to the scene looking for loved ones, still distraught over what happened here in the Twin Cities tonight.
Yeah, that is very disturbing news, because from what we're hearing here, we were hoping that some of this was kind of winding down. Clearly, of course, it is not. As we heard earlier, there are structural crews actually on the scene right now inspecting what is happening with the bridge parts that are in the river so that rescue crews can go back in.
Let's get upstairs to Chopper 5, talk to Bob McNaney. Bob?
You know, this probably sums it up. We've heard all kinds of accounts, but I just got an email from somebody who's been watching all this, and from out of town. It's simply put, oh my God, this is so bad, and that really does, in a sense, sum it up. This has just been a horrific night for people in the Twin Cities and across the United States. Minnesotans all over the place are watching this, obviously, with great concern. Go back just a little bit, John and Cindy, about the magnitude, the scale of this, but because, frankly, at this point, authorities have no idea how many people they may be looking for, how many people could be trapped. And again, that's something that is perhaps going to be aided by daylight tomorrow. I can tell you, we talked a little bit about the NTSB coming in here, and these folks, they do a job. They take the tiniest of pieces and are able to determine what causes a building or a bridge or a pipeline or a plane to go down or break or explode. These are the best of the best. So clearly, the resources will be here beginning tomorrow to try to figure out what happened, which will in some senses be small consolation, but could be critical, because I will tell you my experience in talking to people like Jim Oberstar. When an accident like this happens, it sends a ripple effect throughout the United States. It may, in fact, change the way bridges are inspected. It may, in fact, change the way we look at our highway system across the United States to make sure that it's funded and checked more appropriately, or to the level that it should be. But again, at this point, the question still remains, how many folks are still unaccounted for? And how much help will arrive come daylight?
That is the big question, Bob. I mean, this thing is going to send ripples. This disaster is going to send ripples throughout the Twin Cities for years. Right now, we need to be concerned with what's going on. We don't know what's going on right in and around that bridge where they're hopefully looking for people who might still be alive.
Right. We know families have made contact with their loved ones, but some have not. Christy Peel is at the Holiday Inn in Seven Corners, where the Red Cross and mental health professionals are trying to help families deal with what they don't know yet. Christy?
You know, Cindy, since we've been here, we've just seen a few families start to come in as word of this is spreading. We did see one mother come in, and she said, we're here about our son. She rushed in. The mental health professionals, American Red Cross, took her. There are 25 pastors here, priests on hand, ready to talk with anyone who may have questions, who may be ready, who are going to need help to deal with all of this. I talked with one of the pastors here. He told me that there really isn't anything they can say right now to these people. All that they're telling them is that it's a time to weep. They're here letting these folks cry, letting them ask questions, but basically they're just here to be a shoulder to cry on until they get official word that one of their loved ones has been a victim in this horrific, chaotic madness down here. Rescue crews are also starting to come in as they've been down at the scene. Those folks are going to need mental health professionals as well. Some of them are taking breaks and then going back out there throughout the night. We're going to stay here and keep talking with the family members, the pastors, the mental health professionals, and bring you the latest.
Christy, one of the things that we have to underscore here is what we just don't know yet, because we know that we believe at this point 41 people injured and 6 people have been killed. There were 60 children on a school bus, but there were more than 50 cars we expect on that bridge, and so we've got people unaccounted for, one would have to assume.
And the people that we've talked with who don't know, they're the most concerned, because they're saying, I know that my loved one was getting from point A to point B, they would have had to drive over that bridge. I've been trying to call their cell phone, and they're not answering. Are they somewhere else? Did they turn their phone off, or were they involved? It's very, very frightening for those people. It will be hours, possibly days, before they get answers. And that's one of the things that these professionals who are here are trying to help people understand, is that this is going to be potentially a long, very difficult, painful wait as all of this gets sorted out.
All right, Christy, thanks a lot for that. Now, Governor Pawlenty said it earlier, about an hour ago, an hour and 10 minutes ago. This is a catastrophe of historic proportions, and right now we can confirm six people have been killed in this bridge collapse, with several dozen injured, including critical injuries. All of the construction workers who were on the bridge, they were doing surface work. They were not doing structural work. They were doing surface work, repaving and filling cracks. All of them are accounted for except for one, we are told. And again, six people were killed in this bridge collapse. Bridge built in 1967, spanning 400 plus feet over the Mississippi River. Metro Transit now getting ready to pitch in tomorrow morning. They will offer additional bus service from the North Metro Park and Ride locations tomorrow. 25 extra buses will be put into service from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. to supplement what's out there already. Afternoon service to the north locations will also be beefed up. I can promise you those park and ride locations are available on the web if you want to look for them at the Metro Transit site. And we're going to get a link to those sites on our website at KSDP.com so you can take a look at it and figure out if you have to be in your car tomorrow, because the morning rush hour is going to be awful.
Once again, we will be bringing you a complete recap of what happened here about 4 hours ago. A bridge collapsed, 35W bridge between University and Washington Avenue over the Mississippi River, collapsed at 6:05 p.m., sending dozens of cars into the river. There have been fatalities. There have been injuries. We are going to be updating you here in a matter of a few seconds as 5 Eyewitness News at 10 starts. Please stay with us.
This is 5 Eyewitness News at 10.
Cars were exploding. Kind of reminds me of a 9/11 type of feel.
Just a
All right, you are listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul in Minneapolis. I'm Dave Thompson. The Twins, of course, are not being broadcast on the station tonight due to the bridge collapse that occurred on 35W in Minneapolis.